up.
This is SB Nation AM.
Another kind of daytime radio program.
On SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
So was this an act of desperation by the Rockets to land Russell Westbrook, forcing two alpha males on this team, even though it is a reunion of sorts from two guys that played together with the Oklahoma City Thunder in the early parts of their career? Yes. Yes, it is. Does that mean that desperation is bad? No, of course it isn't. For example, if you were desperately in pursuit for a cure for something that was plaguing you, and you went to the jungles to find some plant, yeah, it may be seen as a desperate move, but it might work. It might work. You might desperately be using a different tactic to land a job because you're sick of being unemployed. So instead of doing it the traditional way, sending a resume out to people and then waiting for a phone call, maybe you send a pizza with your resume on top. You know, that kind of that famous way people used to do that. It's desperate, but it might just work. In this way, the Rockets are, yeah, it's desperation. Sure it is. Why? Everyone is passing you. Everyone is in a car that's moving past you on the highway. So you've got to hit the gas. And you've got to catch up. The Western Conference is open only because there are more teams now that have a claim to the throne. There isn't one team sitting on the throne that you have to live up to. Everybody's kind of in the same pool. Jump on in. The water's fine, but you got to jump in. If you want to put your toe in, if you want to walk in slowly from the end, if you want to climb down the ladder and then go back up and then climb back down the ladder again and come up, the best way to do it is to jump in. The Rockets jumped into the pool. Because right now the pool has the Clippers swimming nicely, has the Lakers swimming nicely, Golden State's still swimming, Utah's still swimming, Denver's still swimming. Right now the Rockets have to jump into that pool. And they did. You can call it desperate, and it is, absolutely. But it also may be the right move. They got rid of a contract they absolutely hated, a player they didn't want on their roster anymore. And they upgraded that position. They've got to get it to work. That's where they've got to trust D'Antoni. They've got to trust the two guys that at their age, 30 and 29, that they are professional enough to make this work. Because it's the only way that they're going to be able to stay swimming in the pool. Because sometimes the lifeguard blows the whistle, and the little kids have to get out.
This is SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, thanks for joining us. SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. There is a big story brewing for college athletics in California. It's small right now, but it has the potential for a gigantic impact on college athletics, recruiting, etc., if it actually goes through to fruition. A California bill, I should say, you got to make this clear, it's in California only, would make it possible for college athletes to profit from the use of their name, image, and likeness. Now, that bill has passed another subcommittee and is now in the legislative process in the state of California. Mark Emmert of the NCAA wants that to slow down because they need to find out the ramifications of this, what it actually is going to mean. It's called the Fair Pay to Play Act. It was introduced in February in California. And it also, get this, prohibits schools in California from taking away scholarships or eligibility from college athletes who use their notoriety to make money. Ouch. This is a big deal. This is a big deal. If this goes through, schools like UCLA, USC, Stanford, just in the Pac-12 alone, right? Cal, just in the Pac-12, would be allowing their athletes to make money off their image and likeness. Want to put my name on a candy bar? You can do that. You want to put my face on a plaque for some? Yeah, you can do that. You want to pay me to use my image for whatever, a poster? You can. You want to sell an item that I'm known for, whether it's because I wear my hair a certain way or I have a funky mustache, you can pay me. Think about how big deal that is in the land of recruiting. I'm going to watch this story because, again, it's not national. It's not in Congress. That would affect Maine athletes and Washington athletes and Miami athletes and, you know, Southern California athletes and everybody in between. This is just California. I mean, think about like a Matt Leinart, for example. Think about a Reggie Bush, for example, their time at USC. How much marketability they had in a town at that time that didn't have a pro football team. What they could have made, how much that would have affected Pete Carroll at the time recruiting into USC. Oh, yeah. And not only do you get to come play one of the storied programs in college football, but if somebody wants to use your image or likeness and you can make 10 grand, you can make 10 grand here. Can't do that at Alabama. Can't do that in Florida. But I guarantee you, as crazy as those states are in terms of college athletics, if this bill passes, you watch how quickly a bill passes in Alabama. You watch how quickly a bill in Georgia flies through the state legislature. So that Bulldogs and Yellow Jackets and Mercer Bears and, you know, everybody else in between in the state of Georgia can start pocketing off athletes. Athletes can start pocketing money off on their name and likeness. I know I told you the guys this story, but for those who haven't heard this, it's one of my favorite stories about exploitation of athletes. At the University of South Carolina, there was a quarterback named Steve Tannehill. And Steve Tannehill had long blonde hair. He was from Pennsylvania. He was a Yankee. He was a Northerner. And he came to South Carolina to play football. But he was the South Carolina just endeared himself to the state of South Carolina. He was a good quarterback, and he beat Clemson. You do those things at South Carolina, you could stay there the rest of your life. You're one of us. But Tannehill had long blonde hair. And he would wear, when he wasn't wearing his football helmet, of course, he would wear a Gamecocks hat, and the ponytail would go through the back end of the hat. So there was a company that made and sold it in the school bookstores, Gamecock hats that had a blonde ponytail attached to the hat. So you can wear a hat and have the Steve Tannehill ponytail on the back end. Now, remember something. Schools can get away with selling a jersey with your number on it if it doesn't have your name on the back because it's just a jersey with a number on it. Like if you're Johnny Manziel and everybody on campus is wearing your number too, well, Johnny, they're not really wearing your jersey. They're wearing our jersey with the number 2 on it. Okay. But the Tannehill ponytail at South Carolina was because he wore his hair in a ponytail through the back of his hat. No other player did that. That wasn't mistaken for somebody else. That just wasn't we just design all our hats like this. It was the fad at the time. And he made no money off of that. He wasn't allowed to make one nickel off of that. You see it all the time. And you go in, there's, you know, you can get a poster, you can get, I mean, it was, you can buy all sorts of the jersey alone, but they're not allowed to profit. And this bill would make it so that they can in California. And now you watch how this has played out in recruiting. If you're the NCAA, now listen, one of the chairmen of the committee in California says what the NCAA is doing, it amounts to bullying. But in reality, I think that's an exaggeration. I think the NCAA is putting pressure on this because they can't just have this fly through. The ramifications of this for them are huge. They're big. They're really big. They don't want to be forced into a new rule or a standard that they're not ready for yet, right? But I've been pushing for this for a long time. Look, guys, let's all be honest. One of the reasons we don't get to play EA college football sports or NCAA basketball on our video game systems was because they weren't paying those guys, right? They just weren't paying those guys. What was it? Ed Henderson, I think it was, or no, somebody from UCLA that was he was selling cars, and he went over to a friend's house who had a kid playing basketball, playing NCAA basketball. And he goes, I'm watching the video game, and that's me. And I realized I didn't get anything for that. But that's me on the video game. Same thing with the football. Now you can, in California at least, you can pay the players. This is a long time coming, though. This is, you know, I don't know. I feel like it's one of the topics in sports radio that's been around forever. Should athletes be paid? It's what you do during when you don't have anything else to talk about. But at the same time, I feel like it's, again, we've been doing that for years. But I feel like in the last five, there's just enough push for it that I think it's going to happen sooner than I thought. There was a time where I thought it was never going to happen. But I feel like over the last 5 years, there's been more and more persuasive arguments for it. There's been more and more push for it. There's been more and more realization that some of these guys are doing all this and they can't get other jobs and they're broke. And it's something I feel like the NCAA is going to address. One of the things it won't do, though, it's not going to change the relationship with boosters. That's the other thing people say. Like, well, if you give these guys $1,000 a month, they won't need to take underhanded money from boosters. They'll still take underhanded money from boosters. Money's money. And boosters don't do it because the guy is starving. They do it because they want something from the player later. And these guys come calling, man. Don't think they don't. Like, when you're a booster and you slip a kid like $500 for an interception or something during the games, you're doing it illegally, you're not doing it to be their buddy. You're doing that to be their buddy and because down the road you want something. Because down the road, when they make it to the NFL, you want them to come back and maybe do a little promotion for you, talk about how great you are, et cetera, et cetera. They're buying your future services when they do that. That's never going to change. You can let the players take the money, but that's never going to change. They're always going to do that. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter, at Tony D Radio. More on the NBA news, and also we'll get into some college football as Media Day is coming up next week, which is the conference to watch outside of the SEC, next on SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, think O'Reilly Auto Parts for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low prices and excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Mike Hernandez joining us. He's filling in for Ron Culver. I think I have to Lysol this studio when I'm done. Don't you think? I just was talking about how I feel like I'm getting sick.
Yeah, I think same here. Right before I leave, I'm about to do the same thing.
Yeah, make sure you clean everything so you don't infect the entire operations of SB Nation Radio.
I have the Clorox wipes ready to go.
Exactly. I'll never forget one time I was in Denver and I was doing crosstalk I came in, right? My show followed another show. So I came in to do crosstalk. It was the last few minutes of the segment. And the guy that was doing the show, right? As soon as the show was over, and he's like, all right, Tony D is coming up next. He's got your Nuggets and Avalanche, blah, 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 blah. And then he goes off the air. The guy goes clear and he goes, achoo! And he just sneezed all over everything in the air where I was going to sit.
Oh, no.
And I went, come on, man. I was like, come on. So I'm not sitting there. You just sneezed all over the mic, the computer, the keyboard. Like, you just sneezed everywhere. And then, like, the 3 minutes of transition that it took between the time he said goodbye to the time I had to open the show, we're wiping everything down. I'm like, I'm not sitting in that chair. Are you kidding me?
Bring me a new mic.
I was like, bring me a new microphone. I want to do everything. I was playing very diva-ish that moment. But yeah, you gotta take care of your fellow broadcasters. Normally, people don't realize this, but a lot of times our studios don't have windows, that we can open. We're usually in control, enclosed spaces. I know. Woe is us. Yeah, wah. But a lot of studios are very, very small. Things travel quickly. What can I tell you?
Get on the walls and everything. TV.
Yeah, man.
It's everywhere.
Exactly. Some of you think we're like in these big palatial studios. Sometimes we are. Sometimes we're not. Okay. Let me just say that. But yeah, you got to wipe some stuff down. So SEC and all the media days are going to be next week. Mike Murschel is going to join us. Matt Murschel, I should say, is going to join us from the Orlando Sentinel. He's got a pretty good gig next week. He's covering the SEC media days, the final 2 days in Alabama. Or what was he? First 2 days and then off to the ACC media days? Is that what he's doing?
First 2 days ACC and then the last 2 days the SEC.
Oh, perfect. Okay, so he's going to be a very, very busy guy. Covering media day. Media days is a hard thing to cover. I've done it twice. It's not easy. A lot of talking and a lot of nonsense.
Hard is stressful sometimes.
Oh, it's really stressful. And a lot of nonsense. It's a lot of stuff you never use. To get something really good, you got to put up with a lot of PR stuff. Just a lot of nonsense talk. But if you want something really good, and sometimes coaches do that. Sometimes coaches will give you a really good, you know, bit of news on their program, but you got to wade through a lot of just, we're going to be great. We're going to be awesome. I love my team. My team's going to be awesome. They work hard. Blah, 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 blah. Everybody says that. But every now and then you'll get a coach that's like, well, he does have to work harder on this. And if he doesn't do that, he's not going to play. And you're like, oh, really? Oh, God, finally a gem that I can use. It's an appetizer. That's what these things are. They're appetizers. They're appetizers for the season. One thing college football doesn't have that the NFL has is, like, the NFL has the, what we're going to see in the next few weeks, NFL has stages, okay? So the first stage of the NFL is going to be in the next couple of weeks, next week with two teams, and I think after that everybody starts coming in, is the opening of camp, right? Now, that's going to be a big deal in cities all across America. Opening of camp. That's when you, the players are going to check in and you're going to start training camp. It's different when they check in for the OTAs and different when they check in for mandatory minicamp. This is training camp. This is where it all comes together. So you're going to have that. Now, then you're going to have daily reports on practices. Your local media is going to be out there every single day and they're going to talk to this player and the quarterback and the coach, et cetera, et cetera. Then the preseason hits. Now, we take preseason games for what they are. They're not huge, but they are another bit of the can't wait for the regular season to start schedule. So you're going to get four of those, sometimes five if your team's playing in the Hall of Fame game, and there's going to be all this analysis, and you'll be breaking down rosters, and this guy actually looked pretty good, and he should make a spot on the team, and let's hope there's no injuries, et cetera, et cetera. Then, of course, you have opening weekend. Right, the Thursday night game followed by opening weekend. College football doesn't do that. College football, they will open up camp, but that's really it. That there's no preseason games, there's no nothing. There'll maybe be a scrimmage that your team might play. That'd be kind of cool, but other than that, that's not really the kickoff. To it doesn't come in waves like the NFL does. What college football has is its spring game right back in April. That's a big deal. So media days, while they're events for, as the name implies, the media, they're also for the fans because the fans get information on the team and they get jazzed up for the season. But we're still 6 weeks away. And those 6 weeks are going to be filled with, you know, practices and who's playing where and did somebody get hurt and did somebody move up on the depth chart? Is somebody talking about transferring, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. Now, SEC media days are so big that they've spread out the wealth of the 14 teams to 4 days. I don't think you need to do 4 days, but you do when you can really draw it out. Fans show up. They want autographs. They want pictures. They just want to be there when their team arrives. It starts on Monday. I think there's four teams that are speaking on Monday. The lobby of the hotel will be filled. Saban will show up on Wednesday in an armored escort of police. He'll give his state of the state address for the state of Alabama. It'll be carried live. You know, all of those things to be a big deal. But it's an appetizer. It's an appetizer to get ready for the upcoming season. And that's really what it is. Now, listen, the SEC, I think, is one of the things we'll talk about to Matt about coming up in about 10 minutes is, look, there's been many years where the ACC has been top-heavy, but the middle of the road, middle of the pack, not so much. I think the SEC this year is a little bit more top-heavy. I think there are more teams that are going to be vying for really solid positions in the upper echelon of college football, right? Sometimes you don't get that. Sometimes you get maybe two teams, you know, Alabama and Georgia, maybe LSU, and then everybody else is kind of okay. But I think this year there's going to be a lot of teams that are going to be vying for that upper echelon spot. I think Alabama is clear front runner. I think Georgia is a front runner. I like Florida in that mix as well. But I think you're going to have more middle of the road teams rising up and taking a step up. You know, Clemson in the ACC is still should dominate that conference. I'm curious about Florida State. You know what? You know they had such a bad year under Willie Taggart. I mean, is that a fluke or is that something that Seminole fans are now in? It's in reality mode of what's going on there. The Big 12. It's Oklahoma and Texas. Remember the question coming out of last year in the bowls? Texas, they're back, right? Well, let's find out if they're back before we anoint them as back. Good season last year. Let's see if they're actually back. But it's, again, Oklahoma is clearly a favorite in that division, in that conference, I should say. The division, the conference I'm interested in from just a let me see what you guys are all about and let me see if you guys gotten better and you've fixed some of your problems is the Pac-12. I want to see if the Pac-12 is going to get any better. I don't know if they will, but I want to see if they do. We haven't really had a Pac-12 team, you know, in our conversation. I mean, Washington was in it, but we really haven't had a feeling like something really great is coming out of the Pac-12 for a while. Big Ten, still solid. I mean, still solid. But overall, I'm, you know, Ryan Day at Ohio State, everything like that. But again, Ohio State, Michigan, Michigan State, and the likes. But again, I think this is the SEC, again, is going to be, they just, they know how to carry themselves. They know how the game is played, right? They know how the playoff works. They have a deep conference. It's hard to just throw them off, right? I mean, there's always going to be one or two teams in the SEC that are going to rise up and play well. I think, you know, outside of Florida in the SEC West, I'm curious, like, I wonder how good a team like Kentucky is going to be. I know, hear me out on this. Last year, they lost some really good players, Blake Snell among them. But Mark Stoops has been recruiting pretty well from what I'm hearing in Lexington. They won 10 games last year. I'm curious to see where we if Kentucky keeps that up. If you get Kentucky good in a conference, in an SEC where they're not normally good and rising up a bit, it's good news for the conference. Tennessee should be better, but I don't think it's going to be great. South Carolina, I think, takes two ticks down. So, and Missouri, I think, will be interesting with Kelly Bryant at quarterback for Barry Odom in terms of where their presence is going to be. I think South Carolina's schedule is just way too tough. Just really, really way too tough. Now, Robert on Twitter, sports trivia question. Flint, Michigan, population 100,000, has natives that have won titles in MLB, NHL, NFL, NBA, Olympic gold. Any other cities have such a feat? Let's narrow down that. It's a good question. That's a really good question. Let's narrow that down. Though, because if you're just saying any cities, well, I got to think L.A. has that. I got to think New York has that. But are you talking about just in terms of Flint size, 100,000? Because that's really super impressive. But I think if you went digging, I think you'd find that in most major cities over some timeline. I mean, absolutely, like New York, you know, New York City. I think Denver would probably be one of those cities if you really did some digging. But, man, that's real for a population of 100,000 that Flint has produced champions in all those major sports plus Olympic gold. That's pretty impressive. That's pretty impressive. I grew up in a small town. We had one baseball player when I was a kid from my high school that everyone thought was going to play in the majors. He could throw really hard and had great control, really awesome velocity. I remember scouts were coming to his games. He went nowhere. Nowhere. Never even sniffed the majors. And we were so disappointed because we didn't understand how it worked. You know, sometimes when your old world is just this one little bubble, you just think, this is all I know, so this is the only thing I know. And we thought, how come they're not taking this guy? He should be in the majors. Look how good he is. We'd watch him play. We were kids. You know, throwing 87 miles an hour in high school, etc. We didn't know. He probably should have been in the 90s. So to have a town like that, 100,000 people, not only produce professional athletes, but champions. That's pretty good, man. That's good, Robert. That's a pretty good trivia question. That would be one of those questions you'd have to like really dig. I don't think you could just Google that. You'd have to do some real serious research. All right, Matt Michelle joins us. Orlando Sentinel. A lot of college football next week. Meeting the media. We'll get his thoughts on the upcoming season. It's coming up next. It's SB Nation Radio.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts studios alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
All right, busy week. Next week, college football media days dotting the landscape. On our Progressive Insurance Hotline, Matt Mershell joins us, Orlando Sentinel. You can follow him on Twitter at OS Matt Mershell. Joins us here on SB Nation Radio. How are you, Matt? Busy week for you next week.
Pretty good.
Going to the, what is it, AAC Media Days early and then SEC Days later on.
Yeah. They're all stacked up this year, so I'm heading up to check out the American Athletic Conference Media Days on Monday and Tuesday, and then I'll be down at SEC on Wednesday and Thursday, just in time to catch Nick Saban in Alabama when they make their presentation on Wednesday in Hoover. So, busy week next week with the kickoff, unofficial kickoff of the college football season.
What is the big storyline out of the AAC this year?
Well, I think it's got to be the UConn situation. With UConn deciding that they're going to leave to go to the Big East and what's going to happen to their football program, I think next week becomes really a lot of discussion about that. Where does the American go from here? Do they decide to remain 11 member league when it comes to football, or do they look to maybe try to add another school? Are we going to see a little bit of conference realignment here? And it's going to be a weird situation. I mean, let's be honest. I think the American had just wrapped up their new media rights deal with ESPN. It was reported to be over $1 billion. I think Mike Oresko, the commissioner, was going to come out and probably before all this was going to be like, hey, everything's going great. Look what's happened. And now instead he's got to deal with this idea of, having one of his membership leave. So I think it's going to take up a lot of the discussion next week, and it'll be interesting to see how kind of everyone in the room kind of responds to having UConn in there as well, because they're going to be a contingent there as well with Randy Etzel and some of his players.
Is there any truth to the rumor that James Madison, who's done very well at the FCS level, wants to move up? Can they move up? Is it as easy as I hear it can be?
I'm sure if there was enough interest in, from the American and they really felt like that was a good move, I'm sure they could help, facilitate that. Again, this is going to take some time. The one thing that could work in their favor would be the idea that UConn isn't exactly ready to leave right away. They may take them a year or so before they can officially leave for the Big East. So that might be something. My gut tells me, honestly, that I'm not sure if the American is going to expand. I think they may just decide to stay at 11, and they may just decide to drop divisions and, get that waiver from the NCAA and take the top two best-playing teams in the league and throw those into the championship game. So I don't think, unless they can get a really big name addition, I'm not sure if they want to expand just for the sake of expanding.
All right, let's get to the SEC, and their media days start on Monday. It'll run 4 days in Hoover. The SEC always is top heavy. It's always got some of the best teams in college football near the top. Middle of the pack of the SEC. Are we looking at a better middle of the pack this year than years before? How do you evaluate those two that are going to challenge the top echelon teams in the conference?
Yeah, I think this could be a year where you're going to see a lot of the middle of the road teams kind of playing a lot better than we've seen in the past. I mean, you look around. How Alabama and Georgia have been the top two teams, but you're going to see improvement out of, Texas A&M. You're going to see improvement out of LSU. Mississippi State's done a good job with Joe Moorhead. I think you're looking at Kentucky and Florida and South Carolina. I mean, all those teams right now seem to be on the upward, trend. There really are few teams right now that are struggling. I think Arkansas last year, which was 2-10, I think they'll be a much better team this year with Chad Morris coming in there. So this, to me, is going to be interesting. I think, obviously, everyone's going to want to know who's going to come out on top. But there's going to be a big clamor of teams trying to get in that, maybe position themselves for that, 3, 4, 5 type spot in the standings. And I think this is going to be one of the strongest years for the SEC in quite some time.
Let's get to Florida a bit, because last year, they had a good run. They went 6-1, and then they lose to Georgia, and then they lose to Missouri, and Felipe Franks is, hot seat starting quarterback. And then there was a game against South Carolina where it switched and it turned for him in the program. Does that look like that's going to be the standard now play of his play, or is there still concern about which Felipe Franks is going to be at quarterback?
Well, yeah, I think that's got to be interesting. And you talked about that South Carolina game. There was that moment, I think, if you remember right, where the fans kind of booed him a little bit.
Yeah.
And he did the thing where he scored the touchdown and he tried to shush the crowd with his finger, you know, to his mouth. To me, I felt like that was the moment that changed everything for Felipe Franks. I think all of a sudden you saw that he just it lit a fire under him. And I think you saw him play much better from then on out, you know, finishing out the season really strong. I think if you're Dan Mullen, you're hoping to carry that momentum into this year. I mean, you know, Mullen's been known for the way he's kind of helped develop, you know, quarterbacks during his time. I think he'd love to see that kind of fire kind of continue to build up, you know, and into going into this year. And there's going to be plenty of opportunities. You know, you think about Florida. They don't start the season off with a cupcake. They got to play Miami here in Orlando. And that's a big game. That's a big state game. That's a big game in the sense of there's no other games going on except for one other game. It's the week before the season officially starts. There's going to be a lot of eyes on them. So I think Dan Mullen really wants to kind of continue to really get, you know, Felipe fired up on that, making sure he continues to develop. We've seen a lot of that in the offseason. He needs to take that next step to becoming, you know, not just a good SEC quarterback, but an elite SEC quarterback.
And we listen, Georgia is always going to be good, and Kirby Smart's always got a team. Is the top, is that a lock for Georgia? Or is there, you know, with Florida, as you mentioned, Kentucky, I know Blake Snell is no longer there, but is there some threats coming in the East? There hasn't always been, but is there some threats coming into the East to Georgia's crown?
Yeah, I think Florida's probably the biggest threat right now. I mean, I think that when you look at their schedule, I mean, I think that's the game that everyone's going to have to circle. I mean, we know Jake Fromm is playing really well. He's played really well over the last couple of years. I think his development has been key for them. You know, DeAndre Swift, you know, the running back, has been talented. They've got some question marks on offense. You know, new offensive coordinator. It'll be interesting to see how this team, you know, kind of steps forward. To me, it's always going to be, with Kirby Smart, it's always going to be about defense. You know, if their defense plays really strong and really well, you know, they're always going to be a contender. But, you know, when you look at their schedule, this is a team at Georgia, you know, they're going to face Notre Dame in a non-conference game in late September. That, to me, is going to be a key to see how this team possibly could play. Then they got Tennessee, South Carolina, Kentucky, and they get to Florida. This is a team that might be a little, you know, banged up by the time they get to that Gators game. But to me, the Gators really represent, you know, the biggest challenge to them. I think South Carolina is going to be a little better. I think Kentucky could still be a little better. But it's going to be those two teams once again in the East.
And then the same question in the West. It's hard to dethrone Alabama. Not a lot of teams have been able to do it. But with Jimbo Fisher at Texas A&M, Ed Orgeron's always got a good team at LSU. You mentioned Joe Moorhead. What are the challenges for Alabama in their own division?
Well, I think LSU, to me, honestly stands out. I think what we saw from Ed Orgeron last year and the Tigers, you know, they won 10 games. They looked like a team that was really good. And then, you know, basically, you know, I think they returned just about everybody. Joe Burrow's coming back. I mean, I think that's going to be huge for them. I think we saw an LSU team that actually finally started to get its footing after, you know, having kind of a little bit shaky ground with, you know, Les Miles leaving and Orgeron taking over and some of the ups and downs there. So I think LSU right now represents a big challenge. I think A&M is going to be coming at them strong as well. You know, you've got Jimbo Fisher, who's done a great job everywhere he's been. I think Jimbo's trying to get that A&M program back to where it can be. I still think they have a little ways to go. And then you've got, like I mentioned, you know, Joe Moorhead with Mississippi State. They're always good. And then to me right now, the wild card is Auburn. I think Auburn right now, everyone wants to know, you know, what can Auburn do? They've kind of been up and down. You know, Gus Malzahn seems to be either on the hot seat or right, you know, hot seat adjacent. So, you know, everyone wants to know, you know, how that team is going to respond. And I think those right now are going to be the three teams that are probably going to be three or four teams that could probably give Alabama a little bit of a show.
How do you view the quarterback play in this conference in the SEC? Obviously, Tua and Jake Fromm are the top. We talk about the up and down of Felipe Franks. Some other good quarterbacks like Joe Burrow that you have mentioned. But overall, where do you see the quarterback ranking in the quarterback play in the conference?
Well, this will be the best year for the quarterbacks. These teams are bringing nine quarterbacks to SEC Media Days next week. And that seems to me like that's like a first in my mind that they've had that many quarterbacks. So I think what that shows is this is the first year in a while that they've had a really strong crop of quarterbacks. And I think, you know, they want to showcase this. They want to showcase that this is, you know, usually this is a heavy maybe running back league or defensive player league. But there's a lot of talent, as you mentioned, at the quarterback position. You know, Kelly Bryant comes in as a transfer. He's at Missouri. I think he can give them, you know, a lot of a boost right there as well. You know, you mentioned Joe Burrow, Kellen Mond, you know, Texas A&M. I mean, there's a lot of big-name quarterbacks right now, you know, and I think that's going to be interesting to see how that kind of plays out. This league has gotten better in that aspect. I don't know whether it's from development or from transfers and recruiting. So it'll be interesting to see some of these guys around. Now, I'm interested. Listen, you could tell that Nick Saban is going to have a chip on his shoulder after what happened in that championship game.
Sure.
Because he's bringing Tua Tagovailoa to SEC Media Days. And I didn't think that would happen. But I think he's bringing there just kind of showcase that. So I think that's where that chip is going to be front and center for all of us in the media there.
You know, it's funny. I was just talking about Media Days, and I've covered a couple, and they're kind of interesting because you have to wade through a lot to get some real nuggets out of these guys. But overall, is it like an appetizer for fans? Like, we're still 6 weeks away, but my God, when you see players, you see coaches, they're talking about the teams, it's almost like, okay, this is a great thing, not only for the media to write some stories, but also for fans to go, hey, it's right around the corner.
Oh, for sure. I mean, think about this. Media Days, having ESPN and all those channels, you know, live broadcast from Media Days, you know, where they show the coaching, you know, the coaches speak. I mean, I never thought we'd see a day when that would happen. And you've got great ratings for those. People want to sit around and watch that. You know, they want to hear these coaches speak. For us, sometimes covering, as you know, sometimes the coaches can kind of be, you know, they have some good moments and, you know, some funny things to say and a good quote there. And it's great for fans, but, you know, for me, it's getting to the players. I think the players are the real stories, obviously, and they're always willing to talk a little bit of things. And when you write the stories for Media Days, fans love it. I mean, I get more comments, you know, during that week, and they're excited, and they want to know what's going on and what's going to happen, and they're just waiting for that nugget of, you know, someone to say something maybe bulletin board material-wise that they can kind of cling to. And I think that's one of the reasons why, you know, Media Days are so popular. It's one of the reasons why people send over 1,000 media members to SEC Media Days, because people are clamoring for football. And we're still, like you mentioned, I mean, camp doesn't start till the end of July for most people. So we're still at least 3 or 4 weeks away from that. So it's going to be fun to see what happens next week.
And it is really cool, and just like an insight in our business, it is still really great when you have the ability to transcribe from video, you can watch it at home online, that we still want boots on the ground. We still want people in attendance on the ground talking to these guys and getting the stories.
Oh, very much so. I mean, I love it. I mean, every one of these events, you know, whether sometimes Media Days can be, you know, I know some writers don't like it because it's, you know, you don't get more one-on-one access, but
right.
In some cases you do. Some cases it's, you know, you can sit down with these guys. In some cases you get to hear what's happening. To me, this is more just kind of an appetizer. And then when you get into the camp and everything, that's when you really kind of dive into some of these stories. But it's nice that once in a while to hear what these guys have to say. They've been having maybe 3 or 4 weeks, you know, on their own without the coaching staff. It's kind of fun to ask them what they've been doing during the summer. I love to catch up and see, you know, just for fun, you know, what are some of the things you've been up to doing now, you know, and you kind of wait and see what these kids have to say. You'd be surprised how many of these kids are watching streaming services like Netflix and stuff like that, what their favorite shows are. So it's kind of a way to kind of get a little bit of a fun thing going as you kind of get ready for the football season to start.
Matt, great stuff. Good coverage as always, my friend. Hope to catch up with you as the season progresses. Good luck with your travels, my man.
All right, thanks a lot, man. Take care. I'll talk
you
to
got
you
it. Matt Michelle of the Orlando Sentinel on Media Days coming up next week and college football. I liked his answers on the SEC. I really, really like Kelly Bryant of Missouri. I just remember he was the kid that transferred out of Clemson. Dabo let him go. He didn't make him, you know, there was a conversation about, oh, do you let, you know, do you start him enough games so that he can't transfer, you know, and lose in a year of eligibility. Dabo didn't do that, went with Trevor Lawrence. Kelly Bryant was able to transfer, was able to leave the program. He goes on to Missouri, work with Barry Odom and see what he can do. I think the quarterback play in the SEC is going to be good. We'll be previewing a lot of conferences as the next few days go along, and we get to the Big Ten and the Pac-10 and, of course, the Big 12 with Oklahoma, Texas, and all of those guys. But the SEC, this media week, they're going to dominate it because of the SEC. I kind of feel bad for some of the conferences that are also going to have their events going on at the same time. They've really kind of packed it up. I kind of would have separated myself. I would have wanted more of the limelight on my conference and my schools, because the SEC sort of gobbles that stuff up. All right, 800-777-2907 on Twitter, @TonyDRadio. It's SB Nation AM.
You're listening to SB Nation AM on SB Nation Radio.
And on SBNationRadio.com.
Presented by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, alongside Ron Culver, here's Tony D.
Hey, thanks for joining us, SB Nation Radio, SB Nation AM. Do you watch Stranger Things by any chance?
I do.
That Netflix show? Do you? Did you know yesterday was Slurpee Day for one of the characters on the show?
It was?
Okay, so yesterday, 7-11, because it was 7-11, July 11th, there was a character in the Stranger Things that loved cherry slushies.
Oh, yeah.
So they said, go get a cherry slushie in honor of this character. You don't have to convince me to get a cherry slushie. You don't have to convince me to raise a cherry slushie in honor of a character. I'll drink a cherry slushie any day.
Wish we had 7-Eleven down here.
Yeah, I don't. I don't have one. I have a twice daily. They have Slurpees. I will drink a Slurpee all the time. I do not need to do it. I don't need to go, well, today's a special day. I'll go get a Slurpee. I'll get a Slurpee any day. Those things are delicious. Are you kidding me? It's hotter than the sun here in Nashville. Are you kidding? I'll swim in a puddle of Slurpee if I have to cool down. I'll be more than happy to do that. Those things are delicious. There's nothing better than when you get a Slurpee and then you just stir it and then you drink it. And then after a while, it becomes like water flavored mesh of ice.
You get a brain freeze at the first sip.
Get a brain freeze. It's awesome. No, you don't have to need a marketing campaign to get me to buy one. I'll buy one. I'm already sold. I'm in. You have me at had me at Slurpee. New Coke. That's a different story, but you know, or maybe I might be persuaded with a promotion for New Coke. But a Slurpee, I am in every day of the week. SB Nation Radio.